Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The first reading this morning is from Acts. Acts of the Apostles. The story of Philip and the eunuch who was somewhat of an outsider, a cast-off, expresses the inclusive love of God for all. All are invited to come home to God because love is simply part of our nature, and love is part of God and from God. So listen to these words. Then an angel of the Lord came to Philip. Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from the Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went, and now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the contents, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to the chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so that he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. He can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say that this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch asked, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The gospel reading today comes from John 15. And from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me, I in them will bear much fruit. Because before and from me you can do nothing. However, does not abide in me, I have thrown away like a branch, and it withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words and abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we be blessed in this hearing. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to truly know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Here's something I want you to ask yourself as we move deeper into the season of Easter. What difference does the resurrection make in your life? What difference does it make in the way you live and the way you practice your faith? Is the world of the empty tomb substantially different from the world that came before it? Or is Easter a mountaintop experience you enjoy for a short time before you return to your real life in the valley? For this, the fifth Sunday in the season of Easter, the lectionary, that common set of readings many churches use, assigns the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, Acts is the book that tells the story of the early church in the month and years after the resurrection. When I first learned this story, I learned it as a lesson in the importance of evangelism, with the goal of being a one-way conversation. That is, it's the story of Philip, the disciple, the good evangelist, leading another person, the eunuch, to follow Jesus. Now, I still read it as a conversion story, but I see it differently. I see it as a two-way conversion story. While it's still a wonderful story that the Ethiopian eunuch is accepting of the gospel of Jesus Christ as Philip shares it, I think we miss some of the power and the beauty of this story if we see Philip as only the teacher. Philip's also a student. And what he learns from the eunuch has a great deal to teach us about the life of faith in a post-Easter world. In his spirit-led encounter with the Ethiopian official, Philip learns that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Everything he knows about insiders and outsiders, justice and equity, identity and belonging. The unnamed eunuch in the story isn't the only person who is converted. The Spirit leads Philip to experience conversion as well. Our story begins with Philip being called by God's angel to go to a wilderness road leading away from Jerusalem. There, on the geographical margins of Judea, Philip finds this Ethiopian eunuch, a person who occupies many margins. He's someone who's interested enough in Israel's God to make a pilgrimage from his home to Jerusalem. But according to Hebrew law, he is not free to practice his faith in the temple. He may be Jewish, but not ethnically. In Philip's eyes, he's a foreigner. He's a black man from Africa. He's a man of rank and privilege, a royal officer in the queen's treasury, but he's also a powerless outsider. He's a genderqueer man who doesn't fit into the social and gender norms of his time and place. See, a eunuch at this time was someone who identified as male, but either by birth, by surgery or injury, didn't have male reproductive organs. And he was also wealthy, wealthy enough to possess a scroll of Isaiah. And he's literate enough to read it. But he lacks knowledge, context, experience to understand what he was reading. In other words, this eunuch, he occupies an in-between space, a liminal space, a space that stubbornly refuses our ideas of who belongs and who doesn't. What kind of person, after all, seeks after a God whose laws prohibit him his bodily presence in the temple? What kind of wealthy, high-ranking officer humbly asks a stranger on the road for help with his spiritual life? What kind of long-rejected religious outcast sees a body of water and stops in his tracks? Because he recognizes first, before Philip, the supposed Christian expert, that God is issuing him a gorgeous, unconditional, and irresistible invitation. I don't think it's coincidence that Philip finds a eunuch reading Isaiah's description of the silent, suffering lamb. God's word, after all, it finds us right where we are. Scripture has a way of resonating in the deepest, most authentic, and most tender places in our lives. Perhaps this story calls to him because it describes some of the complexities of his own life, his own religious, gender, and racial differences, his own vulnerability. What I love most about Philip in this moment is not that he evangelizes the eunuch in some programmatic way. It's that he meets the eunuch exactly where he is. And gently, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, shows him how his story of silence and resilience, suffering and rejection belongs squarely within the story of Jesus. And after hearing himself in this story, the eunuch asks the most amazing question of Philip. Look, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Sit with this question for a moment as a real question. A question that Philip must grapple with as seriously as the eunuch grapples with the life-altering implications of the gospel. What is to prevent me? What is there to prevent me from belonging to the family of God? What is to prevent me from being welcomed as Christ's own? What is to prevent me from full participation in the risen life and community of Jesus? What's preventing me from breaking down entrenched barriers, fences, walls, and other obstacles that have kept me at an agonizing arm's length from God, from the God I yearn for? What's preventing me from becoming not just a hearer of the good news, but an integral part of the good news of the resurrection? When the eunuch asks this question, Philip doesn't answer. There's silence. That silence spoke louder than words ever could. Because the answer to that question is silence. The answer, the only answer, is nothing. In the post-resurrection world, in the world where the Spirit of God moves where and how she will, drawing all of creation to herself. In the world where the scriptures live to defeat death, alienation, isolation, and fear, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will prevent a beloved child of God from entering into the fullness of Christ's salvation. Nothing at all. Did you see, or hear, actually, did you hear who commands the chariot to stop so that they can go down to the water? Who was it? The eunuch. Philip doesn't say a word. How could he? He can only listen and follow the prompting of a man who knows without a doubt that he belongs. Who knows that the God who he has been following from a distance for so long is about to do a new and earth-shattering thing. As we wrap up our stewardship campaign this morning, where we've explored all the ways our church is making a difference in the world because of us, I wonder, are you willing to let this story be your guide to share the good news of Jesus and the good news of our church outside these walls? I wonder, are you willing to continue following Philip's example, letting everyone know that they are welcomed and loved in this church just as they are? I wonder, are you willing to listen to the eunuch and find a picture of liberation that leads to expansive waters of belonging? These are important questions to consider, because the fact of it is, if the story of the Philip and the eunuch is true, and I believe it is, then the post-resurrection world really is a world where all are welcome. No matter what you look like, no matter how you identify yourself, no matter who you love, where you're from, or any of the other barriers we put up to keep people out. Those don't matter. In his commentary on the book of Acts, Yale Divinity School professor and theologian Willie James Jennings describes the story of the eunuch this way. He writes, faith found the water. Faith will always find the water. The eunuch wanted God as much as God wanted him. So God broke the connection between identity and destiny, between definition and determination. God inserted a new trajectory. The question isn't about the wideness of God's embrace. The question is not about God's capacity to lead God's beloved to the waters of baptism. This story makes it abundantly clear that the Spirit will do what the Spirit will do. The only question remaining is whether we are ready to live a more inclusive and welcoming life. Look, here's water. What's stopping us?